A dangerous one, but a choice nonetheless. About that hypothesis you mentioned last night? What about it? Her question comes out breathy. I believe I'd like to take the good guy challenge.
Let's take it. Let's take it now.
Looks like we're both ripping up the rogue kissing pact. Fine by me. The good guy challenge sounds a hell of a lot more satisfying. London helps with the lights and music breakdown, powered by that same fevered need that's driving me, turned on beyond all reason. We load all the gear into my car, then cruise to my condo, the traffic gods and goddesses gifting us green light after green light. I only have 30 minutes, she says in a rush as we get out. Nate is out for a while, and Mr. Darcy turns into a barking pumpkin at midnight.
Can he tell time?
Yes, breakfast time, dinner time, and barking time, which he indulges in if he's alone. Something I learned once when the neighbors complained when we were all out too late.
Then we better be fast, I say as we bound up the steps. With supersonic speed, we take Bowie and Vin Scully around the block. I'll answer to Sherry's arched eyebrows tomorrow, then return to my place. I lock the door, grateful that London still has that hungry look in her eyes. Pretty sure that look hasn't left mine either. The energy and fire from the dance floor flicker across her irises, though it's more of a smolder now. But that's okay. That gives me the chance to prove good guys have got it going on. I go for it. Not only for me, but hell, I have the honor of a lot of dudes to defend here. I finger the hem of her skirt. So, this window before midnight, I bet we have just enough time to run an experiment. She taps her chin, playing along.
Gee, what kind of experiment?
My fingers thread through her hair. I'd love to prove to you that good guys have got what it takes to be great in the bedroom.
She laughs lightly, but her gaze is heated. What if I don't want to run this test in the bedroom?
Living room, kitchen, bedroom, a proper experiment requires a variety of controls and variables.
And testing locations, it seems.
She swallows, lifting her chin.
So, what do you have in mind for the next 30 minutes, or 25, I should say?
I brush feather-like kisses along her neck, making her shiver as I work my way up to her ear.
Preliminary tests.
Oh,
she says, a little shuddery, suggesting she likes where we're going.
But we can do subsequent tests, too?
She asks, with a hint of sadness in her voice, and I mentally grin at her disappointment that we're not sleeping together tonight.
We can do all the tests, I say, and I slam my lips to hers, savoring her taste.
We kiss hot and deep for several delicious seconds as I guide her back to the couch, sinking into it, pulling her on top of me. In a practiced move, she takes off her glasses and sets them on the table. My hands roam over her flat stomach, her back bowing as I touch her. Following her cues, I glide my hands beneath her dress, and in one swift motion, I tug it off, tossing it onto the floor. There is only one thing to do now. Enjoy the view. I savor every inch of her. The curves of her tits and her lacy blue bra, the freckles splashed across the valley between them, the soft skin of her stomach, and her legs straddling mine, giving me a fantastic view of matching panties that drive me wild. I press my heart on against her center, and desire spins wildly through me, racing faster as she grinds down on me. Our mouths connect again, tongues tangling together. We kiss harder, grinding together in a frenzy, a mad rush to get closer, to touch. Breaking the kiss, I run my lips over her chest, along the seam of her blue lace bra. Her skin pebbles at my stubbly caress, and she murmurs fantastic words like,
yes. More. Again.
What the lady wants.
I undo the clasp, then slide my hands over the globes of her breasts as her bra slips off. Her tits are... words fail me. Because they are perfect. There's no other way to describe them. a perfect handful with tiny brown nipples that I'm desperate to suck. And I do. Greedily. She rewards me with a moan as she throws her head back. And holy fuck. That move right there makes my skin sizzle. The way she wants this, the way she wants me. Her nipple hardens in my mouth, making my cock strain tighter against my pants. My hands pay a visit to her ass, squeezing her flesh, all while my lips lavish more attention on her breasts, first one, then the other. It's only fair. You are so fucking sexy, London. I rasp as I come up for air. These freckles on your chest have been driving me wild all night.
Seems like fair play, since you're driving me wild right now.
Good, because that's exactly what I want to do to you. You're gorgeous, and I am so unbelievably attracted to you.
Same. Same for me.
She whispers, then lets out a soft, throaty moan before she grinds against my erection. I push up against her, groaning too. My eyes swing briefly to the wall clock in the kitchen. The countdown is on. We're at about 16 minutes before Pumpkin Dog. That means... Spinning her around, I lay her back on the couch so she's all stretched out. I lean over her, my lips returning to her neck, nibbling on her ear. She yelps lightly in surprise at the speed of our turn, but settles in as I pepper her body with kisses, licks, and sucks. I trace a line down her front with my tongue, enjoying every inch of her lightly tanned skin. Then I slide off the couch so I can kneel on the floor. This is the only place I want to be on Earth. Between her legs. I slide my hands up her thighs, delighting at the feel of the soft hairs as I make my way to her hot, wet center. Face to face with her matching blue panties, I trace the lines of her underwear with my finger. A sweet hint of her arousal darkening the middle. The temperature in me spikes. There's nothing sexier than the woman you want, wanting you right back. Not a fucking thing in the world. I hook my finger around the center of her panties and pull toward one thigh, revealing her to me. Soft and glistening with a tuft of hair on her mound, London's pussy shines like a temple. One I am only too happy to worship. I lick her once, teasing her. And my God, she tastes better than salted caramel. I need access to all of her, want to feast on her, so I guide the lace down her shapely legs, enjoying every inch of her body as I undress her. As my gaze returns to her center, she parts her legs for me, and my dick thumps harder. My skin heats more. My tongue traces the outline of her pussy and she gasps, then moans low in her throat. Her sounds urge me on, right up to her clit. I lap, gently at first, teasing the pleasure out of her. As I lick and suck, her body responds with arched hips, hands in my hair, and delicious moans, telling me what's working and what's not. I listen, I adjust, and then I ravage. I hungrily devour her, and I don't ever want to stop. But I do like her tits. And judging from the sounds she made earlier when I kissed them, I roll the dice that she'll enjoy double the attention. My hand flies up her belly, on a fast track for her chest. I cup her breast, massaging and squeezing her nipple as her hips grind against my face. Yes, I am getting my fill of London right now. My mouth and hands are very happy. So is she, it seems, as she shouts her approval.
Yes, so good. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Her hands curl tighter around my head, and her moans take on a rhythm of their own as my mouth seeks to match it. I concentrate on her pleasure, driving my face between her legs to the pace she's set. Her tempo picks up speed. Her fingers grip me tighter, hands tug me closer.
That. Do that. Don't stop.
She gasps as I continue my sensual assault. My cock throbs for release, but my focus remains only on her. Her breathing quickens, and it's time to push her over the edge. I reach for her other breast, squeezing both of them roughly as she grinds against me. She rocks as I lap at her clit, indulging in every second of her taste, her smell, her pleasure. Soon her ass is thrusting off the couch. Her thighs grip my head in the best vice grip known to mankind, but even in that position, the fuck she cries out is unmistakable to my ears. She freezes in ecstasy for a breath, lets out several wild shudders, and groans. Best chorus ever. Slowly she relaxes into the couch with a happy moan. I gently release her breasts while blowing softly on her core. As her ass hits the leather and she lets out a blissful sigh, I kiss her inner thigh once, twice, and slowly exhale with her. I take a moment to enjoy this charged, wordless silence, the sweet sounds of her satisfaction, her hums and moans. I rise between her legs, gently caressing the tops of her thighs as I sprinkle kisses on her belly. I make eye contact with her and smile. She grins back, brushes her hair from her face, and exhales deeply. That was... Those two words don't even need an adjective. Yes, that was. I head to the kitchen to grab a glass of water, then return and hand it to her. Thank you, she says, sitting up straighter on the couch to take a thirsty gulp. When London sets down her glass, she arches a naughty brow. Then she asks the best question ever. Can I do that to you? Too bad I can't give her the answer I want to. Chapter 21. Her question is an arrow piercing my heart. Right now, I'd choose blowjobs over tacos, blowjobs over riches, blowjobs over air. But I've got a good guy rep to protect. The no forming on my lips pains me for all of humanity. It wounds me across the halls of time. But dogs. Pretty sure I would love that more than my next breath, but Mr. Darcy needs you, and I won't stand between a dog and his need for after-midnight companionship. You are a good guy. I brush my fingers along her arm. Speaking of, how did I do defending our honor for Emery and Olive? She drags her fingers down my chest. Can I tell them you made me see stars? Supernovas? Galaxies light years away? How about another solar system? All the solar systems? She says, still sounding high on her climax. And hell, I beam. Just fucking beam as she gathers her clothes and gets dressed. I knew great sex would be great fun, and this is officially the most fun I've ever had. Making London's skin flush and her heart pound is everything I imagined great sex would be. You have carte blanche to tell them anything about how many constellations you saw. Come to think of it, it would be cruel of you not to share it with your girlfriends. She curls her hand over my shoulder. Or taunt them with it? I'd like to thump my chest right now, stage a halftime show for my prowess tonight. But I do neither. Instead, I seize this chance. We should do it again, I offer. I'm generous like that. Also, I want her, no matter the risk. She bites the corner of her lips, rises onto tiptoe, brushes a soft kiss against my lips. Yes. One perfect word. She raises a finger. And I would like to cash that reciprocal rain check very soon. I give a no big deal shrug, even though blowjobs are the deal. I believe I would be completely amenable to that. What do you know? I would too. But right now, I need to take off. I'll drive you. With a grateful smile, she grabs her purse, puts on her glasses, then we leave. I take her home, giving her a quick kiss at the curb before I return to my place. Back inside, I'm intensely satisfied. And also not in the least, considering I've had a raging erection for most of the last hour, and once my eyes swing to the couch and I picture what transpired there moments ago, it returns. Great. Fucking dicks. And this one, I'm pretty sure, can win the honor of boner most likely to be mistaken for a Viagra overdose. This au naturel diamond cutter needs some tending to. I head to the bathroom, shed my clothes, turn on the tap in the shower, and stand under a hot stream of water. I take my aching length in my hand, groaning at the first hint of relief. This won't take long at all. I slide my fist up and down my shaft and picture all the things I want to do next with London. Her scent lingers in my nostrils, drifts through my mind. I imagine her riding me, and my dick likes that a whole hell of a lot. But my dick has an equal opportunity imagination, so I flip through all the positions I want to try with her. Her on top, her reverse cowgirling me on top with her legs draped over my shoulders. Oh yes, that would be fantastic. And how about her on her hands and knees, me pushing her shoulders down so she can raise her ass high in the air? My senses crackle as I grip harder, stroke faster, a movie reel of all the ways I want to touch her, taste her, have her racing before my eyes. I want to worship her body with my tongue, kiss her everywhere, touch her all over, slide into her, feel her clench around me. Pleasure jolts down my spine, sharp and hot. My hand shuttles in a blur. Seconds later, I grunt, coming hard, picturing the woman I should stay away from, and knowing there's not a chance in hell that I will.
Chapter 22. The next morning. London, all I'm going to say is you're both wrong. Absolutely, incredibly wrong.
Emery sits up in bed, puts glasses on, perks ears.
Olive, yes, we want to hear what you've learned about good guys. So please serve up all the salacious details like the heroine does in a sexy romance novel when she gabs with her besties.
Because you love dirty details served in your earbuds.
Yeah, because earbuds were invented for men with deep, sexy voices to whisper sweet, dirty nothings into. Prove me wrong. Also, since you've heard Dex Long giving it good, then you understand why I go on and on about him.
After that kitten, let's have a threesome clip? Yes. Yes, we do. But wait, what's his other name? He goes by the ostrich, right? Or is it the rooster? Wait, no, it's the lizard king.
Rolls eyes. It's Pegasus. He's the Pegasus.
Pegasus, as in the mythical Greek creature?
He is a man of legend.
Hello, can we discuss real men and real orgasms?
The Pegasus has given me lots of real orgasms when my hot hubs isn't around. Solo O's are real. Don't be so judgy, you dirty girl. But feel free to make up for it by telling us everything.
Let me just say, la sigh, la big happy dirty cloud nine sigh.
Yay, more, give us more.
Was it sheet grabbing, bone rattling, back arching good?
Let me put it this way. I felt like I had an out-of-body experience when he went down on me.
So he is kind of a Pegasus.
It felt quite fantastical. So, yes, let's call it a Pegasus level O. But...
Uh-oh.
Did he do butt stuff to you, London? Please say yes, please say yes.
There was no butt stuff, you pig.
Oink, oink. So what's the catch?
The catch is I like him so much, and I'm pretty sure he really likes me, too.
Liking a man can be hazardous to your health.
I know. Trust me, I know.
What do you like about him?
He's funny, clever, kind, and thoughtful, and he listens. He actually listens. So obviously, he's too good to be true.
Kind and thoughtful? He does sound like a book hero. Do you think if your story is made into a romance novel, we could have the Pegasus voice him?
Well, he is quite magical with his tongue.
Should we call him the Lizard King, then? And does he have any new tricks we should know about? Not asking for a friend.
The trick is this. He was just super into it, and so was I.
Swoons.
Breaks out emergency nightstand B.O.B.
Olive, Can you not start diddling yourself while we're texting?
What made you think I just started?
You're such a pervert.
Takes one to know one. And speaking of perverts, I want to hear from Pervy London. Tell us more about the Lizard King's magical tongue.
Honestly, I think he just wanted me to feel really good. That was the magic.
You are so far gone. Also, that's kind of how it should be. But you've probably forgotten because it's been such a long time. I think you might be suffering from sex amnesia.
That comes after the sex drought, right?
But it ends with the sex feast. Are you having a sex feast?
I would like to be. I kind of can't stop thinking about him. What the hell am I supposed to do?
Only one thing to do. Emergency meeting to discuss, because it sounds like it's way more than just sex.
I think it's been more than just sex from the first day I met him. He never seemed like a just sex guy. Is that good or bad?
Let me be serious for one hot second. It's good. It's also dangerous.
Ugh, that's my worry. He's made it kind of clear that he's not really interested in anything more because of working for my brother and all that.
Your brother is hot.
Wow. On that note, my lady boner is gone.
Mine's not. Archer is a babe.
You're married.
Married, not dead.
But on a more serious note, are you going to say something to Archer?
Not yet. But if something came of it, yeah, I would. I don't like lying to him.
Sweets, you're not lying to him. You're just not telling him till there is something to tell.
True. I guess we will see if anything happens.
I bet it does. And in the meantime, if the Pegasus plays the Lizard King with the magic tongue in the audiobook of your love life, here's a great primer on Dirty Talk. I listened to this the other night and then texted Hawk to be good and ready when he got home. I'm going to send you a snippet of All Night with the Inked Biker Next Door, read by Dax Long, a.k.a. The Pegasus.
I'm going to give it to you and give it to you hard. That's the only thing I want on Earth, to make you feel so fucking good.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. I was busy with my B.O.B.
Knew it. Called it.
Chapter 23. As I finish up a long walk with Bowie, a text message pings on my phone. Like a trained circus monkey, my dick stands at attention. Hopeful fucker. But not without cause. The message is from London. I did as promised. Told your friends? Yes. And? Olive sent me a naughty audiobook full of dirty talk, and I... Well, did I mention you give good dirty talk? Is this another good guy hurdle? It is. Can I order up some more for the next time I see you? Your order will be served hot. Teddy? London? I know you said that this can't really be anything, and I get that. I respect that. But I really want to see you again. Same. I want the same. Are we still on for the radio station? On like Donkey Kong. Bowie and I bound up the steps to my condo and head inside. He laps some water in the kitchen as I flop down on the couch in a text message haze, happy and dizzy. My phone pings again. With a dopey smile, I slide my thumb across the screen and freeze. Archer, how's everything going with the dance routines? The partners are excited to see what you and London are working on. Guilt wraps its prickly fingers around me, digs into my chest, winds down my spine. Talk about the worst timing ever. Teddy, I'm going to see her tonight at the radio station. We'll work hard on that set list. Archer, working hard. That's what I like to hear. I wince. Why did I say work hard? I squeeze my eyes shut, wishing away the guilt, trying to kick it under the table. A little later, I call Sam and we hit the tennis courts for a game. I focus entirely on beating the fuck out of him in straight sets so that I don't think at all about how I'm lying to my boss. But the truth is, all I can focus on is London the woman. Only the woman.
Apparently, that means I can't annihilate Sam, since the fucker pulls off a rare victory. I rule. He thrusts his arms in the air when he finishes me off, racket in one hand. Good game. Epic. He hands me a towel as we walk over to our bags. But you were out of your element, bro. I can read your energy, and it's all out of whack. That's your official diagnosis? Out of whack? That's as official as it gets from Yogi Sam, assessor of energy. What's the story? Was the wedding gig full of bad mojo? I scoff because that's the furthest thing from the truth. The wedding was great. London was there. And? He asks, waiting for me to fill in the gap. And she came home with me. I offer it like the confession it is. Oh. The drawn-out syllable sounds like a warning. So, what's next? He asks as we reach my car. How are you going to deal with that? By seeing her again. Only, that's not the right answer. But it's the choice I'm making. I'm seeing her tonight. He lets out a low whistle, then claps my shoulder. I'm not going to tell you what to do or what not to do. All I will say is this. Be careful, bro. Can't always see the riptides until it's too late. It's great advice, but I'm not sure I'm going to follow it. When it comes to London, I'm already swimming out way too far. Chapter 24. My father whacks another softball to the end of the batting cage. You go, stud. That's my mom, encouraging her man. It's awesome. Not weird, just awesome. Well, I could do without the stud bit. Impressed, son? My dad asks, glancing my way. I'm always impressed with your softball prowess. He digs in at the plate, eyeing the red pitching machine. You should come to my games, then. Cheer me on. My jaw drops. I was there the other week. Did you not recognize your only son at the game yelling from the bleachers? He slams the ball. Oh, that's right. That was you. Didn't realize you were there, since you yell like an ant. An ant? I shoot back, puzzled as he cracks another ball all the way to the fencing. My mother tisks me. Yes, sweetheart, don't you know? You have to cheer incredibly loud for your father. He needs a lot of praise at his age. My dad gives her a smile. I've needed a lot of praise at every age. Duly noted. So we've reached the stage in our relationship where I'm now the parent and you're the millennials yearning for participation trophies? My dad seems to consider this, then nods. Sounds about right. Another ball arcs toward Dad, but this time he overswings, and it's a rare miss. We both laugh, and he takes a deep breath and settles back into the box. After a few more cuts, we finish and pack up, heading to the cafe next to the cages, my parents holding hands as we walk. We order lunch, then my mom sets her hands on the table. How was the wedding? I want to hear all about it. The bride was incredibly happy. I checked this morning on Yelp, and she already left me a 5-star review, which was definitely not something I thought she'd take care of on her wedding night, but hey, she did, I say, spreading my napkin on my lap. Plus, I've already had one person reach out to me after seeing the review, asking to book me for an upcoming gig. Dad pumps a fist. This is good. This is exactly what you've been wanting. You've been a little lost for the last year. That's my dad, not one to mince words. True. And I think this is going to help me focus on growing my new business, building it from the ground up. I won't be distracted now. But that's not entirely honest. When I got home from tennis and got in the shower, I was 100% focused on London again. My dad gives me a warm grin. It's good to see you moving on after Tracy. You were in a funk for a while after things fell apart with her.
And that's understandable. My mom weighs in. But speaking of moving on from Tracy, she trails off in that inviting sort of tone that warns the next question is coming in 3, 2, 1. Have you met anybody else?
Since you asked me a few days ago, I counter, deflecting. She nods earnestly.
Yes, love can happen quickly. She snaps her fingers. Just like that.
This is the moment of truth.
I like my parents. I've been pretty open with them my entire life. I told them when I had my first kiss my freshman year of high school. I told them about the girl I took to senior prom. I've discussed sex with them. They bought me my first box of condoms and took me out for pizza after my first breakup. They raised me in a household without any shame. They kissed in front of my sister and me. They went out together and made it clear that date nights were important for a couple. They've always talked openly about intimacy and the power of love. I've always believed in love because of them. A part of me desperately wants to continue down that path of truth and say, yes, I'm seeing this awesome woman. But am I seeing her? Are we dating? No, you dumbass, you're not fucking dating, you're messing around with her. She's your boss's little sister, and you're hooking up with her on the side, which feels entirely wrong. And entirely what I can't say to my parents. There's not really anyone, I say with a smile and a shrug. And as our food arrives, I feel shitty about lying. But not so shitty that it stops me from seeing London that night. Chapter 25. That evening, I settle into one of my happy places, behind the soundboard at the public radio station, putting tracks together for my Monday night show. I'm trying to keep my mind focused on my work project with London, but if my set list tonight is any indication, my brain is not cooperating. The show is packed with soulful R&B. Seems that some part of me thinks this work meeting is a good excuse to chill to some vocalists who know how to tell a woman how they feel. And Al Green can do just that. Should I follow his lead? Tell London I'm a little crazy for her? Wait, what the? Snap out of it. I am not feeling Al Green levels of hearts fluttering over my head. Nope. Just enjoying some tunes, that's all. Like William Bell. I switch to him next, then lean back in the chair and enjoy the song along with my listeners. I turn my mic on as the track fades out. And now, because music, like sex, is better with a partner, here's Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell singing Ain't No Mountain High Enough. When the song ends, it's 1:50. Time to wrap up. I hope you've enjoyed this week's wind down, and whether you're in the mood tonight for some love and happiness, or just looking to get it on, I hope you find someone to share it with. This is DJ Insomnia, reminding you that you can sleep when you're dead. Peace. The on-air light flicks off as I cut the feed, energized by the post-show buzz. Or is tonight's high courtesy of anticipation? London will be here any second, and we'll be alone. The engineer took off already since I'm used to locking up and my show's the last of the night. In the quiet of the studio, I have my laptop open to queue up the Come As You Are remix I made for London's review when she texts that she's downstairs. I buzz her into the building. Third floor, end of the hall. There may or may not be ice cream. Do not tease about ice cream. Fine, there is sadly no ice cream. I wish now that there were. But I can't wait to tease you about other things. A minute later, the door to the studio control room opens and London breezes in. Your music partner has arrived, she says with a flourish and tosses her bag onto the couch. Partner? Did she listen to my show? Hear my comment about duets? If so, that's hella hot. Music is better with a partner, I say, and the glint in her eyes behind those cute red glasses is my answer. I drink her in. From her flowy floral top that has the good sense to hug her breasts, to the curve of her hips and her snug jeans. My jeans become a bit snugger, too. A lot snugger, actually. It's good to see you. I try to keep the mood casual as I stand, cross the studio, and wrap her in a quick hug. We separate as she checks out the room, taking in the posters advertising bands at the Hollywood Bowl and the Greek. This place is exactly how I pictured it. I have to confess I was hoping I'd feel like I was in a Nick Hornby novel. It's high fidelity in radio station form. Exactly. Epic show posters, a few gold records. I gesture to the couch. Make yourself comfortable. As she sinks into the cushions, I take a seat opposite her at the desk so I can man the controls. As I settle in, her gaze lingers briefly on my stomach and the bulge in my pants.
The hungry look in her eyes only sends more blood rushing to the region. Last night's oral offer has been running through my mind continually. How can I be expected to get any playlist planning done when she's eye-fucking me like that? It's an impossible feat. Eye-fucking wins, fair and square. She rubs her palms, at the ready. What have you got for me?
Oh, I have plenty for you, London.
I click on the mix, launching into the opening notes of Nirvana. You said you wanted something playful, fun, and also iconic. And when you busted out those moves downtown, then again in that video, I kept thinking about the type of music that women love, that gets them to grab their friend's hand and say, oh my god, I love this song. But I also thought about how some things make us hear a song a new way. So, I stretch out the word as I build to my big idea. I've put some mashups together that combine rock edginess with pop effervescence. Something like this. I switch from the Cobain track to the start of an Imagine Dragons tune. Her eyes light up. I love them. My friends do too.
Yup.
Called it. Let's give the audience what they want.
Brilliant.
The second the lyrics are set to kick in, Taylor Swift launches in to Shake It Off. London's eyes spark and my chest tightens with a growing hope. I want her to like this way more than I expected. She seems into it, but not quite sold until I move on to the next tune, a Duran Duran number that the ladies at Edge always seem to sing their own karaoke to, Hungry Like the Wolf. Something like glee crosses her face. Pride suffuses me. Nothing beats impressing the woman you like. Except sex. That's better. But this is pretty damn close. As Survivor's Eye of the Tiger blends in with the chorus, London picks up her imaginary strat and strums the air. You've been practicing, I can tell, I say of her air shredding. I've got a competition to enter, remember? And apparently I'll have to learn animal hybrid tunes, because did you really just combine wolf and tiger songs? I'm not afraid to go carnal, I say, and her mouth forms a sexy O as she sets down her imaginary guitar and pick when Survivor hits the chorus. London bobs her head, visualizing her choreography, I suspect. I have a verdict. I can't tell from her tone if she's deep in thought or deeply disappointed. She relieves me with her next words. I love it, Teddy. It's exactly what I'm looking for. The pop lyrics are familiar enough to get a club pumped up, but the rock jamming underneath makes it a totally unique sound. You're so good. My body tingles at her words. I could listen to her compliment me all night long. And hell, I'd like to earn praise from her in all different ways. She mentions other artists she wants to hear, like Pink and Ed Sheeran, so I make some notes to work on it and send her another round tomorrow. We listen to a few other tunes I have queued up, soaking in the surround sound vibe of the speakers, the way music bathes the studio. Archer's right. It does feel like the club in here. When we've made real progress, I declare our work done for the evening and head to the mini-fridge, grabbing 2 cans of seltzer and handing her one. Celebratory toast? After we pop them open, we clink aluminum and say cheers. I slide next to her on the couch.
That was hard work. You do seem like you need a break.
Hey, it's been a long day, I say, a hint of fatigue coming through. Tennis with Sam, lunch with my parents, radio show, thinking about the situation with you all day. I probably shouldn't admit that last bit, but when I'm next to her like this, the truth wants to come out.
Yes, it is a situation.
It didn't help either when my mom asked if I was seeing anyone. The guilt and confusion from lunch comes rushing back, like a sharp, stabbing pain. She takes a sip of her bubbles, her brow knitting, like she's mulling this over.
And what did you say?
Honestly, I lied. Or at least I kinda didn't answer. And I don't know why, exactly. Because I love my folks, and I've always been upfront with them about my relationships, and I wanted to tell them about you, but I don't know. I trail off, not sure exactly what I'm trying to say, not sure where we should go from here. How to be careful and also be present tonight. Or if I can.
But this isn't a relationship.
It comes out a little sad, and that note in her voice stops me for a moment. But then, I can't argue with her. It's not. I'm the one who made it clear that we couldn't have one. I laid down the law. Right, I say a little heavily. For all the reasons we talked about.
Exactly,
she says, adjusting her tone, speaking brightly now. Maybe too brightly. Hard to say, but I swear for a second it sounds like she's convincing herself. Like maybe she wishes we could have something more. Or is that wishful thinking on my part? Likely so. And with that in mind, I let the next words make landfall. Except we aren't going to be working together that long. It sounds like an invitation, one that spells out how I'm potentially up for more in the future. Trouble is, even though she won't be working for the club much longer, she'll always be my boss's sister. And I don't want to mix business with pleasure, especially since leaving the club isn't an option. My DJ business has barely gotten off the ground. It's like a hot air balloon floating a few feet above Earth. Sandbags still very much attached. That's true, she says, perched on the edge of the couch like she's waiting for me to say more. But fuck, I can't say what I want to say, can't do what I want to do. I can say this much, though. You've got to know, if I didn't work for your brother, this would be different, I say, gesturing from her to me and back. It would. I swear. Her smile curves wickedly.
Good to hear.
But I do work for him, and more than that, I just can't make the same mistakes I made last time. Everything was tangled up with Tracy's dad, and when I got out of that relationship, I had to start over, rebuild from scratch.
I don't want you to be in that position. You need to know I don't want to get in the way of your career. That's the last thing I want.
Damn. Why does she have to be so understanding? Oh, right, because she's awesome. Thanks, universe, for dangling a fantastic woman in my path. A woman I can't have. And I need the job. I need the raise I'm up for, too, since it'll help me with my own business. I emphasize the word need because, well, it deserves emphasis. My event business isn't ready to fly on its own just now. Maybe someday, but not yet. So I need to keep building that. I said as much to Sam when I told him about you.
You told your friend about me?
Her tone pitches up like she's intrigued, maybe delighted by this fact. Hell yeah. Told him what an incredible first date we had. He's wise beyond his years. Honestly, he keeps me more centered than he probably knows. He's a good dude.
Sounds like my Olive. She and Emery are my rocks, my diamonds, really. We all went to college together, and I'm so happy they both live here. They've made settling in LA so much easier for me.
Here's to friends. I lift my can to hers.
Not for the many, but for the true.
I like that, I say, then take a drink.
Thanks. Although I can hear Olive whispering in my ear right now, telling me friendships aren't everything. Friendships are there so you have someone to talk to about your awesome sex life, she'd say.
So, is it? Awesome? Her eyes glint.
It's been showing real promise recently. I met this adorable guy, she says, using the same word she did on our sushi date.
I hear adorable is actually quite sexy.
You heard correctly.
This conversation has taken a welcome turn away from Shouldn't City and toward Why Notsville. Her voice is pure sex, and her eyes are smoldering. I set my can on the table, and she does the same. You know what else I heard? I ask playfully.
What's that?
Adorable guys are great kissers. It can be proven in the Adorable Guy Challenge.
Challenge accepted. Lay it on me.
With pleasure. I lean in, gently remove her glasses, set them on the coffee table, and steal one long kiss, claiming her mouth, savoring the taste of her. My head swims with desire, and I let out a low groan. She pulls back, eyes hazy.
I think you're right, about us focusing on the job.
Right, I say, deflated, even though her eyes haven't lost any of that fire.
But I think we're probably okay to focus on different kinds of jobs. Like, say, blow jobs.
She gives a hint of separation between those last two words, and it's one of the sexiest things I've ever heard. That sounds like a great job to focus on. I rasp as she inches closer to me and lays her hand on my stomach. She slides her fingers between the buttons of my shirt, teasing my abs. I curl a hand around the back of her head, drawing her to my mouth. Losing myself in London. Giving in to this moment that feels so right. She feels right. And I want that. I want more of her. She takes over the kiss, flicking her tongue over my lips while she unbuttons my shirt, caressing my chest. Part of me wants to stop her. It's after hours, but someone still might come into the studio. But she seems into it, and hey, it's just a shirt. Nice chest. Nice pecs. Nice everything. She whispers in my ear as she parts the material, dips her head, and presses a kiss to my chest. I shudder from her touch, running my fingers through her hair as she feathers kisses on my pecs and nipples. Her soft lips on my skin send shockwaves rushing through my body. My cock throbs in my pants as she scrapes her fingernails down my abs. Then, in one smooth motion, she unclasps the button at my fly and tugs at my zipper. She slides effortlessly off the couch so she's on her knees in front of me, just as I was for her last night. She's a sensual goddess. A lustful contradiction. Submissive on her knees, but powerful in her eyes, the desire to please me shining in those irises. Part of me wants to toss her on her back and fuck her so we can experience that pleasure together, but something else tells me to relax, to enjoy this. Her hand plays with the waistband of my boxer briefs, and her eyes dart to the door. She seems aware of the distant possibility of us being found like this, and instead of pulling my pants down, she reaches inside and grabs my length. The feel of her soft hand on me for the first time draws out a groan from deep within. An appreciative smirk plays on her face as she runs her hand down my shaft to cup my balls, freeing me from my boxers, exposing all of me to her. She licks her lips as her eyes focus on my dick, and I swear I almost come from the look on her face alone.
This is a pretty nice cock, too.
Nice, I tease. Taking her time, she whispers in a voice like smoke.
Incredible.
If I thought I was going to blow from the heat in her eyes, her dirty words have me at the edge of desire. With her hands on my thighs, she drags her soft tongue up my length, teasing me from balls to tip. She plants firm, sucking kisses down the throbbing vein as her hand grips the base. Her lips and her touch have my cock jumping against my stomach. Now, that's incredible, I murmur as she pumps up the length of my shaft, stopping to thumb the pre-cum off the tip. She brings it to her lips, her eyes going hazy as she licks off the taste of me. I heat up as I get to know London's deliciously dirty side, fire sparking across every inch of my body. Her hand smooths down my dick until she's cupping my balls, driving me crazy with her teasing touch. I let out a low growl that sounds like a warning. I'm dying for her to take me in her mouth, but London has other plans. Plans to make me beg, it seems. Her mouth travels the length of my shaft as her eyes stay locked on mine. Your mouth is amazing. I grind out as her tongue reaches the tip and she swallows the head of my dick in one decadent motion, a motion that sends lightning racing up my spine. She takes her time, exploring my dick with her lips, and I'm all too happy for her to get to know my favorite body part. As she sucks the head, her tongue laves my dick in an intoxicating swirl. I'm not above pleading. Hell, just now I'd beg, borrow, and steal for her to swallow me whole. When I groan so loudly that I wonder if the engineer who left long ago can hear, she takes mercy and at last, at long fucking last, goes deeper, moaning around me. Her murmurs, those sexy, dirty sounds, shoot pinpricks of pleasure through my body. I lay my head back against the cushions, savoring her magnificent touch.
Your mouth. So good.
I croak before my mind can no longer form any thoughts, overcome by the buzz of pleasure, by the promise of blissful torment. She sets a languid rhythm, taking her time, traveling the length of my cock, her lips and hand moving together. On the next stroke, her mouth relaxes, and she takes more. Her hand travels lower, massaging my balls as her lips draw me impossibly deeper in her throat. That sensation of her mouth full of me has my thighs crackling with energy, my head swimming with desire. She is intoxicating, and I'm high on her and ready to explode.
Gonna come, I grunt.
She sucks harder, squeezes my balls just a little tighter, and lets out one more delicious moan. My cock pulses inside her mouth, the first wave of euphoria crashing into me. As my hips thrust, my orgasm overtakes me, and a series of pulsing spasms shoots the length of my body. The release gives way to a floating sensation as I glide on a cloud of pleasure. She slows her movements and swallows in flawless rhythm with my body. We spend a few moments suspended in this blissed-out state. As I come down from my high, she lets go of me with one final mind-blowing lick. Our eyes lock.
Unfucking real,
I mutter, trying to catch my breath.
I'm glad you liked.
Oh, I liked. I fucking loved. Jesus, that was...
And I finish the thought by sighing happily. She rocks back on the floor, but I grab her arm gently and pull her up to me, making room for her to nestle into my chest on the couch. She rests her head against me as I wrap an arm around her and kiss her hair.
That's gotta be the best work meeting I've ever been a part of. I offer as real-world thoughts return to my mind.
Most of them working out ways to reconcile the sex we want to have with the relationship we need to avoid.
Chapter 26.
Sure, I have theories. About fate, about luck, about great sex. But never once did I speculate that an excellent sexual encounter would sate me. Not once did I dream of thinking, that'll be enough. But what I didn't anticipate was how, despite feeling so satisfied, I could want her so insanely much again. Like, immediately. Maybe, say, right now. Okay, after I recover, but that's simply a matter of time, not will. I hope, though, that she wants all the same things I do. More connection, more closeness, more of this night that feels like an escape, that feels like it exists out of the calendar, out of time. After I pull up my boxer briefs and zip my jeans, I run a hand along her hair. What the hell are we going to do next? It's as much a rhetorical question as a practical one. She tap dances her fingers down my chest.
I have some ideas.
I wiggle my brow.
I bet your ideas would like my ideas.
Do your ideas involve both of us getting naked?
I groan. My dick is going to be showing off for her again. Soon.
Yes, they do. But the big question is, can we really do this?
Her expression goes serious, too.
I don't want the night to end. I heard what you said earlier, I get it. This is what it is. But I like this too much to put any brakes on.
I'm afraid somebody may have cut my brakes when it comes to you.
I say, then I brush a kiss along her cheek. And I mean that in every way, not just the physical. You know that, right? Her lips curve into a soft grin.
I think I do know that.
I squeeze her hand. I mean it. I meant everything I said earlier, but I mean this, too. Being with you is one of the easiest things I've ever done. Not just in ages, but ever. Talking to you, laughing with you, everything with you. It's kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy good. Kind of wild that 20 minutes ago I was telling you that things would be different if I had a different job and how I don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past, and now all I want is to spend more time with you. Her smile is sweet and sexy. I guess the blowjob worked then. I don't return the joke. Instead, I tuck her hair behind her ear. No, it's not the blowjob, though it was spectacular. It's you. Just you. Nothing about this feels like a mistake.
I know. I feel the same.
I press my forehead to hers, my hand brushing over her soft hair. I'm savoring this moment. It feels like we're teetering on the edge of saying more, of admitting hearts and feelings and all those other things. But the last 24 hours with her have simply been a bubble, and I do well to remember that. We separate, and I do up the buttons on my shirt. I want to taste you, touch you, feel you, slide inside you, watch you melt, make you come a second time and then do it again. Which we really shouldn't do in here. She laughs, breathes out hard, then waves a hand in front of her face. Okay, you make me laugh and you turn me on at the same time. Is that your special skill? Why, yes, it is. But the trouble is, barking pumpkin dog.
Nailed it,
she says a little sadly. Well, if we were dating, what would you do?
If we were dating?
She asks the words as if she's tasting them, as if they're cherries or ice cream, and she likes the way they feel on her tongue. Hell, I like the way they sound on her tongue.
I think we'd go to my house. She continues. Pick him up and take him to yours.
So that's what we'd do if we were dating?
Yes.
Then we'll do that. And it feels like we are dating. This is a dating conversation. This is a few days with a woman I'm falling for. These are the type of days I'll remember 2, 3, 4 years down the road when we talk about how the two of us started to fall for each other. Or maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
The very puppy-friendly pooch Sir David Bowie and I extend a most humble invitation to Mr. Darcy for an evening in our home,
I say in an over-the-top British accent.
Would you like to bring Mr. Darcy to my house?
Mr. Darcy accepts your invitation. However, he is a horn dog.
He will be in excellent company then. A little later, London pulls up at my house in her cherry red VW Bug. She parks the car, unbuckles her dog, and steps out with Mr. Darcy in her arms. Little dude wags his tail when he sees me waiting with Bowie, so I scratch the small pooch's chin, then give him a kiss on the head. She sets him on the ground, and the dogs greet each other. I waggle the dog bags in my hand. I got the dog bags. Please try not to get too excited.
Oh, that is so sexy.
I take her hand and we walk our dogs and they do their business. It's not romantic, yet it's ridiculously romantic because the stars are out, the night air is cool, and we're wandering through my neighborhood like we would if we were dating. If we were together. Everything about tonight feels like it could be repeated for the next week, and the next month, and the next year. Everything about this feels like this could be how we are. I squeeze her hand. She smiles in my direction.
What's that for?
I shrug. Nothing. Everything. I don't know. She laughs, too.
I feel the same way.
She nudges my elbow as we round the corner on my street.
Hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how great have the last 24 hours been?
500?
Come on. I was thinking 1,000.
We haven't even had sex yet. Let's wait for the sex till we give it 1,000.
That's my point. It's amazing with you even if we don't sleep together.
I groan, a groan of happiness. I stop in my tracks, my dog by my side, her dog by her side, and I cup her cheek. You're right. It's 1,000 already. I press a kiss to her lips. When we separate, I say, I like hanging out with you. I liked it last night, and I liked it today. I like working together. I like all the things.
What do you know?
I like all the things, too. It's all pretty damn good.
Her tone goes wistful again. There's a note of sadness that makes me feel like a jackass. What the hell am I doing? I know this can't go anywhere. Not anywhere I want it to. But I'm doing it anyway. I sidestep the us and focus on something that I can say with absolute certainty. By the way, I think your dance is going to be incredible. You're going to nail that portfolio and you're going to do great things at the club.
Thanks. I'm pretty happy with it. I think we created a cool thing together. I'm going to put the finishing touches on it tomorrow. Also, you're a pretty good DJ. I'm sure your new business will boom.
I'm nowhere near ready yet to go out on my own, but someday. I tell myself the same could apply to her and me. Maybe someday. Maybe someday when things change at the job. Maybe someday when I sort out what I'm doing. Maybe someday when I get a better handle on things and figure out my life. Maybe then I'll be able to have that maybe someday with her. But for now, I'm going to relish tonight for all that it is. As we return to my building and head upstairs, I adopt a TV infomercial voice.
Have you ever considered how amazing the Hedgie toy is?
As in the greatest dog toy ever invented?
It is indeed the best toy in the history of dog toys. Whoever invented it deserves an award.
All the awards? She says as I open the door to my condo and we unsnap our dogs' leashes. I toss a Hedgie to Bowie and another to Mr. Darcy. They take them to opposite ends of the living room. As they focus on the utter amazingness of their toys, I take London to my bedroom. She removes her glasses, and we undress each other. None of this feels like we're messing around. None of it feels like we're hooking up. None of this feels like it's going to end soon. All of it feels like we're just starting.
Chapter 27. Here we are, in my bedroom, stripped bare, ready. Her eyes glimmer with desire as we lunge at each other. I tug her onto the bed, on top of me. Our bodies crash together and the feel of skin on skin makes my head hazy. She moans, low and throaty. I thread my hands in her hair, bringing her mouth to mine. We kiss, needy and hungry. The kind of kiss that's both desperate and a prelude. A kiss that won't last long because we both need more. More than kissing, more than mouths. We need connection. Hell, I crave it. We kiss recklessly, unchained, our mouths saying words that extend beyond maybe someday. I grab a handful of her hair, pulling her head back roughly, and slam my lips to hers. I'm kissing her everywhere, devouring her, consuming her. Her lips, her cheeks, her chin, neck, and ear. She tastes like heaven as her tongue tangoes with mine. My hands glide down her smooth back, clasping her ass, her gorgeous, fantastic ass that I want to spank, bite, kiss. I squeeze her flesh, letting her know with my touch how much I want her. With a soft but sexy laugh, she pulls away from my mouth.
You trying to tell me you like my ass?
I give her a salacious grin. Love, I love your ass. It's spectacular. She slides her hand around to mine, kneading it too.
Back at you, she says, then returns to my lips.
The press of her body against mine is incredible, but I want her under me. I flip her onto her back, then admire the view. Her lithe, lovely body. Her soft stomach. Her perky tits. Right here for me to adore. I bury my face between her breasts, sucking and licking feverishly while she cries out.
Yes, love that.
I love her mouth, her words, the way she talks back. It's fucking fantastic to be with a woman who tells you what she likes, who's unafraid to voice her desires, to ask for what she wants. Her body's damn good at communicating, too. She's rocking her hips, arching her back, making it clear she wants more. After I worship at the altar of her breasts, I pull back, rise up, and take her in. This is all I want, to be naked with London, to be here with her.
She runs her fingers along my chest, then trails them down my arms with wild arousal in her eyes. Her fingernails dig gently into my flesh, sending shivers of pure bliss coursing through my body. When she reaches the tattoo on my left arm, her breath hitches and her eyes glaze.
I finally get to see the tattoo?
She purrs playfully. I knew you could convince me.
What does it mean to you? Why did you have it done?
It's a Celtic Trinity knot. Body, mind, spirit, I say, guiding her hand.